Good afternoon, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Coppernoll. I'll begin the news at noon today by simply reading you a text message I got from Richland Center Police Chief Billy Jones regarding this evening's National Night Out. Richland County National Night Out crew is watching the weather. Weather is still looking favorable with a few concerns, but the plan is to go on as expected. See everybody at 5 o'clock. Remember, the pre-registration for the run, if you have not already signed up, begins at 4:30 p.m. with the start beginning at 5:30. Hope to see everybody tonight. That from Billy Jones. So at the moment, the National Night Out is a go for tonight at the Richland County Fairgrounds. If you weren't listening earlier, all morning long, the phones were buzzing down here at WRCO with a phone auction for Walk with Grace. With a recap of this morning's activity, here is our own Bo Hendricks.
Thank you. Wow. Another great day. Better than it was yesterday, even, which is good. You know, we're continuing to grow, and I imagine each day will just get better and better, but today was no slouch. We'll start things off with our very first segment, which we had the Rustic Hills maple root beer, maple syrup package. That went for $60 to bidder $645. And then also the Cindy Deckert brewer basket, $50 to bidder $205. Gary Schwartz's Bell Art Studio Butterfly Hand Scroll Sawed Hardwoods, $75 to bidder $110. The large jade plant from Colleen Barreau went to bidder $785 for $40. Ray's Do It Best $50 gift card went for $50 to bidder $760. Then we had the next segment, which started off with Soul Balance LLC's one-hour massage, $95 to bidder $505. Diane Nautical's cherry cheesecake, $65 to bidder $180. Mary Murphy's Sweet Bouquet's tin truck filled with candy bars and gum, $50 to bidder $805. House on the Rock, the two golf passes, $125 to bidder $465. And Edward Jones, a Richland Locker gift certificate, $75 to bidder $510. Now, the final segment for the 10 o'clock hour, it was the Utter Brothers t-shirt and gift certificate, $25 to bidder $745. The Arcadia Books, $40 gift certificate, $40 for bidder $125. The Oakwood Fruit Farm, 3 dozen donuts, $80 to bidder $280. And the Jones Chevrolet Packer and Swag package, which included the Kenny Clark sign helmet, $150 to bidder $505. Also in that segment, we had a $65 match from a number of businesses. Now, starting off the 11 o'clock hour, the Vitesnik Power Sports gift certificate, $100 to bidder $435. The Richland the Locker gift certificate, $275 to bidder $435. The Troxel Farms Elusive Escape Rooms, $160 to bidder $450. And the Walsh's Ace Red and White Cornhole Game, $130 to bidder $510. The next segment in the 11 o'clock hour saw the Opal Man earrings, $150 to bidder $635. The Mars Jelenic Fresh Baked Pie, $80 to bidder $610. The WRCO Brewer tickets for the August 21st game against the Braves, $125 to bidder $760. And the Julie Fleming Aromatherapy went for $110 to bidder $860. The next segment, the final segment for the second hour, had the RSK Transports Wine and Cheese Cooler Bag Package, $100 to bidder $435. The Downtown Richland Center Food Package, $200 to bidder $240. The Pratt Funeral Service and Mark Jelenic Milwaukee Bucks tickets, $200 to bidder $205. Heather Miller's certificate, $55 for bidder $280. And the Geraldine Colstead, 6 dozen cinnamon rolls, $175 to bidder $835. Now, we also had the two big items of the day. In hour one, it was the Richland Center Fun and Entertainment Package, $310 to bidder $775. And the Green Bay Packer tickets, $425 to bidder $505, which also helped us meet the match that was set by Advance Pump for $300. So, without the matches, day two's total was $3,575. Now, if we add in the bonus and the matches, through just shy of 4,000 at $3,940. Add that on to what we made in the first day. And right now, well, we can tell you without the matches, it's $6,915 and going over $7,000 with the $465 in matches. So, wow, that's just 2 days, everybody. Looking forward to another busy day tomorrow. Be sure to tune in early. We'll get that underway at 10 o'clock right here on the radio. And again, thank you all to who bid. Thank you for those who donated. And just thank you for listening. Back to you, Todd.
Welcome back to the news at noon. Excuse me. We'll kick this off with Leah Lynn Barton, former Village of Wilton clerk. She's been sentenced to 10 years probation after conviction of stealing thousands of dollars from the village. The case, which was initiated in early 2024, centered on allegations of financial impropriety and professional misconduct. Barton faced two primary felony charges: theft in a business setting exceeding $10,000 but less than $100,000, and misconduct in office through an act in excess of her authority. Following the judicial process, the court entered guilty findings for both counts. Yesterday, Judge Todd L. Ziegler presided over the final finding of guilt and the subsequent sentencing. For the first count of business theft, Barton was found guilty at a court trial. Regarding the second count of misconduct in office, a judgment of conviction was entered following a plea of no contest. The court ordered a comprehensive sentence designed to balance rehabilitation with punitive measures. Barton was placed on probation for a total of 10 years, 6 years for the first count and 4 years for the second, to run concurrently. As a condition of her probation for the misconduct charge, she was ordered to serve 30 days in jail with Huber privileges. Additionally, Barton is required to comply with specific conditions, including maintaining no contact with designated individuals and the Village of Wilton Administrative Office. The financial resolution of the case is substantial, reflecting the scale of the theft involved. The defendant owes a total of $42,226.56 to the court. This figure includes $35,812.26 in restitution, along with associated surcharges and court costs. To manage these obligations, the court established a monthly payment plan commencing in September of this year. The Winnebago County Sheriff's Office, in coordination with the Village of Winneconne Police Department and the County Medical Examiner's Office, has released the identities of three individuals found deceased last week. The victims, discovered during a welfare check at a residence in the 500 block of Division Street on the evening of Friday, July 31st, have been identified as 57-year-old Jeffrey Mankey and his two daughters, 16-year-old Jalen Mankey and 11-year-old Lenora Mankey. The discovery was made after officers from the Winneconne and Amaro Police Departments, along with the Winnebago County Sheriff's Office, were dispatched to the home in response to a medical incident. Due to the nature of the circumstances, the Winnebago County Sheriff's Office has assumed a lead role in the ongoing investigation. While the specific details surrounding the deaths remain under active review, investigators have determined that the event was an isolated incident and have reassured the community that there is no broader threat to public safety. The Vernon County Sheriff's Office, led by Sheriff Roy Torgerson, managed a diverse range of incidents during the week ending August 1st. The week began with an OUI arrest in the town of Coon after a truck entered a ditch on Swaim Ridge Road. The driver, who refused medical care, was charged with OUI second offense and operating after revocation. That same day, deputies responded to a battery report on West Main Street in the village of Reedstown. The suspect was eventually apprehended in Crawford County and processed at the Vernon County Detention Center for battery and disorderly conduct. On July 27th, proactive enforcement continued with the execution of an arrest warrant on Call Road in the town of Sterling, where a 30-year-old female was taken into custody on multiple warrants and a probation hold. Midweek activities included the launch of a significant theft investigation involving a contractor from Missouri who allegedly failed to complete $125,000 worth of work. on the 29th of July. A dangerous domestic disturbance in the town of Kickapoo required a swift response after a male threatened others with a knife. The individual was arrested and transported to the detention center. Road safety remained a priority as the July 30th accident on County Road C in the town of Greenwood. A juvenile driver fell asleep at the wheel, causing his car to overturn in a wooded area. Though fortunately, no injuries were reported despite the deployment of airbags. The end of the week saw several community-focused interventions and interagency collaborations. July 31st, deputies investigated a fire seen from Highway 27, which turned out to be a controlled burn. The property owner was advised on proper notification procedures. A noise and trespassing complaint in Reedstown was also resolved peacefully. And on the 1st of August, deputies assisted Coon Valley Police with a traffic stop that led to the capture of a male passenger with active warrants from three different counties near the La Crosse County line. Additionally, a warrant arrest was made in the village of Lafarge following a vehicle sighting on South Bird Street. Finally, a missing person report involving a teen at Sidey Hollow Road ended successfully when the youth was located unharmed and returned to his family by Viroqua police and fire personnel. In Taylor County, a tragic multi-vehicle accident occurred early Saturday in the township of Holway, resulting in one fatality and another individual sustaining injuries. The Taylor County Sheriff's Office reported that emergency dispatch received a 911 call at approximately 3:12 a.m. regarding a collision on County Road O near Oak Drive involving a house being moved along the roadway. According to preliminary investigations, a tractor operated by Jason Nelson of Thorpe was transporting a house westbound when an eastbound vehicle struck a corner of the structure. The eastbound vehicle continued underneath the house before emerging and colliding head-on with a pickup truck following behind the transit. The driver of the eastbound car, 19-year-old Dylan Mickelson of Abbotsford, was pronounced dead at the scene. His passenger, 20-year-old Autumn Armatosky of Phillips, was transported by emergency services for medical treatment. Neither Jason Nelson nor the driver of the pickup truck, Dominic Sikora of Thorpe, sustained injuries in the crash. The emergency response included Taylor County deputies, Taylor County EMS, first responders from Stetsonville and Taylor County, and the Stetsonville Fire Department. The Wisconsin State Patrol is currently assisting the Taylor County Sheriff's Office with an ongoing investigation into the circumstances of the incident. Authorities have indicated that no further details are being released at this time. According to the criminal complaint, bystanders found a 4-month-old baby in a car seat alone in a boat at Lakeview Bar in Milton. Minutes after the baby was brought inside the bar, 27-year-olds Callie and Maxwell Reed came inside looking for the child. Police reviewed surveillance footage and saw the child was alone in the hot sun without a life jacket for at least 30 minutes while his parents did shots of Jameson. According to online court records, a plea and sentencing is set for Maxwell Reed on August 13th, although Callie Reed is only scheduled for a calendar call on August 13th. Online court records indicate a plea questionnaire and deferred prosecution agreement have been filed in her case. The search for two young kayakers who went missing near Washington Island has reached a somber conclusion. Sunday, August 2nd, the Door County Sheriff's Office officially assumed command of the incident, marking a shift in focus as the mission transitioned from a rescue search to a recovery operation. The change in status signaled a heartbreaking turn for the families and many agencies involved in the intensive effort to locate the pair. Throughout Monday, a coordinated recovery team worked tirelessly in the waters where the individuals were last seen. Personnel from the Washington Island Police Department, the Gibraltar Police Department, and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources joined the Door County Sheriff's Office in a meticulous sweep of the area. Late Monday morning at approximately 10:55 a.m., personnel located the body of 20-year-old David Thulman of Dundee, Illinois. Shortly thereafter, the body of 20-year-old Francesca Warwick of South Elgin, Illinois, was also recovered from the water. The identification of the two victims brought a formal end to the recovery phase of the operation. In the wake of the tragedy, the Door County Sheriff's Office expressed its deepest condolences to the families of both David and Francesca. Sheriff Tammy Sternard and Chief Gary Schultz also extended their gratitude to the vast array of local fire departments, emergency management teams, and the United States Coast Guard for their assistance. The efforts were further bolstered by numerous volunteers who dedicated their time and resources during both the search and subsequent recovery. While the physical recovery of the victims has been completed, the circumstances surrounding the incident are still being examined. The Door County Sheriff's Office has confirmed that the case remains under active investigation to determine the exact sequence of events that led to the disappearance of the two kayakers. The University of Wisconsin-Platteville Foundation and Alumni Association has announced a $1 million estate gift from the late Dolores L. Brown, a 1954 graduate of Platteville State Teachers College. Brown, who died March 29th at the age of 93, dedicated her life to the field of education. Her remarkable donation will establish an enduring scholarship fund specifically for full-time students majoring in education at UW-Platteville, ensuring that future teachers receive the support necessary to follow in her footsteps. Having been born in Lancaster and raised in Platteville, Brown was a passionate advocate for student success throughout her 35-year career in elementary education. After teaching in West Allis, she spent the majority of her professional life in Madison Elementary Schools. She was widely recognized for her philosophy that every child deserves a tailored challenge and support based on their unique strengths. Beyond the classroom, she was a leader in organizations such as Alpha Delta Kappa, demonstrating a lifelong commitment to service and the teaching profession. Jimmy Collins, the Foundation and Alumni Association Advancement Director and Senior Gift Officer, who worked closely with Dolores, noted that she believed deeply in the power of education and the importance of supporting those called to teach. He stated that her remarkable generosity creates a lasting legacy that will inspire and support aspiring educators for decades to come. This sentiment was echoed by Chancellor Tammy Ivetovich, who emphasized that by investing in students preparing to teach, Brown is strengthening schools and communities far beyond the campus. The chancellor expressed profound gratitude for Brown's foresight and the trust she placed in UW-Platteville to carry out her mission. State Representative Francesca Hong's campaign for governor has demonstrated significant financial strength, raising nearly $488,000 since July 1st. This total includes a remarkable $149,000 raised in just the 7 days following the pre-primary reporting period, signaling a sharp acceleration in grassroots support as the Democratic primary enters its final week. The campaign's pre-primary report, which covers July 1st through July 27th, highlights that nearly $340,000 was generated through more than 7,000 individual contributions, demonstrating a clear reliance on individual donors. Over 99% of the funds reported came from individuals, allowing the campaign to close the period with $406,117 in cash on hand. The Wisconsin Department of Justice, alongside a broad coalition of 43 states and territories, has reached a significant $400 million settlement in principle with Sandoz Incorporated. This agreement addresses serious allegations that the generic drug manufacturer conspired to artificially inflate prices, manipulate market competition, and restrain trade across numerous generic prescription medications. Attorney General Josh Call emphasized that such anti-competitive conduct, which forces consumers to pay higher costs for essential prescriptions, will not be tolerated, reinforcing the state's commitment to cracking down on companies that bypass fair competition to maximize profits. Under the term of the settlement, Sandoz is expected to pay a total of approximately $469 million, a figure that includes amounts from previous settlements. The resolution also covers allegations involving Sandoz's international affiliates, including Novartis AG and Sandoz Group AG, concerning their roles in the conduct and subsequent asset transfers intended to avoid liability. Beyond the financial penalties, Sandoz has committed to internal reforms and injunctive terms designed to ensure future compliance with antitrust laws and foster a fair marketplace. This milestone follows extensive trial preparations originally slated for 2027 and adds to the nearly $96.5 million already secured from other manufacturers like Glenmark and Apotex in related litigation. The root of these legal actions dates back to 2016, forming part of a massive series of antitrust cases involving dozens of corporate defendants and nearly 100 different generic drugs. These investigations have been fueled by a staggering amount of evidence, including over 20 million documents and millions of phone records detailing the interactions of hundreds of industry executives with several former pharmaceutical leaders already cooperating with authorities. These cases highlight a systemic effort by regulators to hold the generics industry accountable for practices that have historically impacted billions of dollars in U.S. sales. This settlement is contingent upon obtaining signatures from all necessary states and territories and comes after the coalition had been preparing for an anticipated trial next year. Viroqua invites local entrepreneurs and aspiring business owners to a Choose Your Own Adventure Day of professional growth and networking. Thursday, August 27th, Western Technical College in Viroqua will serve as the hub for a free small business clinic, offering a wealth of expertise and community support from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The event is a collaborative effort led by the Office of Business and Entrepreneurship at the Universities of Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Small Business Development Center, Western Technical College, Vernon County Community Development, and the Viroqua Chamber of Commerce. Designed to be highly accessible, the clinic allows participants to attend for the full day or drop in for specific sessions that align with their business goals. The primary feature of the clinic is the opportunity for personalized guidance. Attendees can schedule 30-minute individual sessions with expert consultants to address specific challenges ranging from legal matters and international trade to marketing strategies and business financials. These confidential sessions provide tailored advice for those just starting a venture or looking to scale an existing operation. Beyond the structured lectures and one-on-one appointments, the clinic emphasizes the importance of community and resource sharing. Resource tables will be staffed throughout the day in the lobby, providing direct access to local organizations that support the regional entrepreneurial ecosystem. Organizers highlight that the clinic is not just about information, but about providing a roadmap and the community connections necessary to ensure that the journey of entrepreneurship does not have to be a solo adventure. Local reminder from Derek Brown, Patrol Superintendent for Richland County's Highway Department. County Road V from Holloway Road to the Vernon County Road is Vernon County line is closed today until 3:30 p.m. for culvert replacement. Holloway Road to Havlick Road in Vernon County can be used as a detour to get around while the work is being done. This is in Henrietta Township, Section 1, County Road V, Holloway Road to the Vernon County line, closed until 3:30 p.m. today. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusion centers stay prepared to help all patients. Area blood drives will be held today from 12:30 to 5:30 at the Lone Rock Community Building and Friday from 11:30 to 5:30 at Christ Lutheran Church in Spring Green. Walk-ins are welcome. If you would like to help children in need of school supplies for the upcoming school year, Edward Jones in downtown Richland Center is holding a back-to-school drive. The drive is being held from now until August 26th. You can drop the school supplies off at the Edward Jones office located at 101 South Church Street, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. A Walk with Grace motorcycle ride will be held Sunday, August 16th. Vehicles will leave Honkers outside of Muscadet at noon and drive to Rockton for chicken. Following the chicken dinner, participants will return to Muscadet and enjoy cake and ice cream at Sportsman's Lounge. Everyone is welcome to participate and all vehicles are welcome. Cost is a $10 donation, which will help benefit Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. For more information, contact Tom Hendricks at 608-739-4321.